Hello, lovers. How are you all? Happy Wednesday. I just want to say, oh my goodness, I've had a breakthrough today. I am feeling much better. It is a wild, wild ride recovering from COVID and being sick and being in the what feels like the portal of death, the death womb. Because one day you feel semi-okay and then the next day you're shattered. And so that was me yesterday. Yesterday, I was motherfucking shattered. It was the beautiful Venus Stargate. I hope that you feasted your eyes on the beautiful Cancer Venus Stargate, which was activating our third eye. It was divine and delicious, darlings. I mean, that sliver, the crescent, the waxing crescent moon and Venus just above her, very close to Sirius, the fixed star Sirius. I mean, it felt delicious. I literally like sat outside for like an hour and just watched the sky change to a million different colors, watch, you know, because obviously just as the sun's setting, you know, the moon and Venus aren't really bright. So just watching them become brighter and bolder and just more exquisite. And, you know, in that very sublime Cancer, you know, Venus in Cancer is sublime. You know, it's nurturing. It's, you know, you can feel it in the womb of your waters, the love, you know, you're desiring. What are you desiring with Venus in Cancer at the moment in your life? You know, you want to utilize this. When Venus moves through a sign, yeah, she comes around every, you know, 12 to 18 months, depending on her retrograde, but it's around every 12 months ish. But you know, we want to really soak that transit up. And so it's like, what are you desiring at the moment? Is it more softness? Is it more tenderness? Is it more touch? Is it more soft neck kisses? Is it more toe sucks? I mean, come on. Like, look, it's a pretty seductive sort of energy. I mean, there's something sultry about Venus in Cancer, but it's sultry in a really maternal way. Like, you know, you Venus in Cancer natives, you know, yous are like the supreme nurturers in a very different way than like Venus in Taurus, her home sign, or even Venus in Pisces, which is where she is exalted. I mean, I must say, as you have all heard me say on this podcast a million times, is that to me, Venus in Cancer feels like an exaltation. I mean, it is a place of worship, let's just be honest. And so to have this beautiful crescent moon activating the Venus gate last night, yeah, I don't know, like I've turned a corner and, you know, I've been talking to a lot of people and a lot of people are going through a lot of stuff right now. Like it's, you know, whether it's just sickness or exhaustion or burnout, or just feeling tired, or again, feeling up, feeling down. But remember the sky energy right up until the end of the month. I mean, you know, I'm still banging on about it, but we've still got like a week left of this energy, like of its intensity, is this fixed square, which I have talked about, which I've written posts about. So you can go back and check those out. But there is this real fundamental tension that's in the skies. And it's sort of it's a push and a pull, like a square, especially a grand square, meaning all four fixed signs have something there. And I'm pretty sure I shared last week. I know that I did a very great podcast last week. I just loved it. I mean, I got like 30 new followers on Spotify. So if you've got me in your ears for the first time, hello, darling. I love you. Thank you for being here. You know, I was coming off the back of being quite sick last week, but ultimately, you know, you can channel a lot of stuff through after you've been sick because you've cleared out, you know, you've purged on such a huge level. So, you know, I was talking last week about this fixed square and, you know, it's a holding. It's like, are you in your own holding pattern? And that's sort of where I felt yesterday. I was like, fuck, like I wanted to go back to the gym. You know, it's been nearly 3 weeks since I've been sick. I want to feel good again. And, you know, it can be debilitating and it can be frustrating, you know, because it's sort of out of your control. But also, of course, there is the element of surrender. And as I've said a million times everywhere, you know, I'm not someone who burns out or I didn't get sick because I was overworked, blah, 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 stressed. You know, I know exactly why I got sick. It was all very, not only astrological, but had a lot to do with some other things as well. So I know exactly, you know, what happened to me, or happened for me. And so, but ultimately, you know, what happens with this fixed holding energy, and like I was saying, I would have shared, maybe I shared it last week, because, you know, as you all know, I don't go back and listen to any of my podcasts. I don't edit them. I don't listen to them. You know, it is just raw. It's real. This is what's happening for now. You know, if the next iteration needs editing, maybe that will happen. I'm not sure, but this is where I'm at for now, and I love it. So I never listen. Like, it's just not something that I do. I don't, you know, I don't re-listen. So, and there's no need to if I'm not editing or anything like that either. But I'm hoping that maybe I share that the release point is also the toxicity of the South Node in Scorpio. You know, it's like the muddy waters. And so because we've got all four fixed signs with planets activating them, you know, there is this grand tension, this grand frustration. You know, it could be grand volatility. It could be, you know, I'm hearing again, I said this last week, lots of car accidents, you know, lots of frustrations, lots of delays, lots of, again, are you in a holding pattern? It feels fixed. It feels rigid. It feels like you cannot move too freaking far. And, you know, it's like, oh, I go a little bit here and I'm at an edge. Oh, I go a little bit here and I'm at an edge. It's like we are coming up against all these edges, and it's the four corners of the square. You know, that's what we're coming up against. We're coming up against Mars, desires, anger, sex, you know, the actions that we need to take. We're coming up against Pluto, which is, you know, deep transformation, but it's also like, you know, going into the underworld where we are submerged, or maybe where, you know, people are drowning in the underworld of their stories and their dramas. You know, maybe it's old patterns coming up. Maybe it's volcanic, you know, something that's deep within you that needs to erupt or burst through. You know, then we've got Jupiter in the North Node, they're in Taurus. So this is expanding and magnifying. And, you know, there's something around our future. There's something around, well, what direction are you taking? Are you learning your lesson? There's something about wisdom and growth. And then we've got the fourth edge, which is the South Node in Scorpio. So, you know, which is the edge of the past, our karma, coming up against our own karmic patterns and templates. And this is what I think I was sharing last week, is around the breakthrough of that. And, you know, we're going to break through a little bit on one edge, and then maybe the other edge is a bit more spiky, and then maybe the other edge we're scared of, or there's fear there. You know, maybe there's a fear of the volatility, or the fear of, if I erupt, like, I don't even know what I'm capable of because I've been holding for so long. And, you know, you think about the four fixed signs, and you know, they are the holding. You know, it's the holding of the four fixed signs. They hold. So if you're feeling held, and maybe in a good way, maybe not in a good way, if you're feeling stuck, if you're feeling like you're in a pattern, or if you're feeling like you just can't break through, like for me yesterday, I was like, I just feel shattered. It was the first client I'd had in since I'd been sick, because I've had to reschedule 2 weeks of clients and work. And you know, I'm still a little bit brain foggy. You know, I'm still a little bit stumbly. It's like I've got training wheels on again. I mean, that's just the way it is. We're human, right? Like, it's just the humanness, and it's okay. And you know, so I just felt really shattered. I was emotional. You know, Venus in the sky at the moment is squaring Chiron. So ultimately, even with that beautiful Venus gate last week, you know, and look, I'm just sort of preluding to everything that I've done this week. Monday night, I sat in my Venus Gateway class, you know, so my beautiful friend Michaela, who teaches about these gates, I'm doing her 9 month course, where each month we come together. And we talk, you know, she shares about the activation, and You know, of course, I've already looked at the degrees and where it's happening in my own chart. And, you know, obviously being an astrologer, I know all of this stuff, but it's a really deep shamanic process because she's a beautiful medicine woman. So she took us deep into a meditation. And so that was Monday night. So I've just gone deep into this meditation and just, it was really quite magical and very layered. And then on Tuesday, I felt pretty shagged and shattered and I had a client and that was all good. But you know, and I just felt like a little bit fragmented, you know, when you feel like you're energetically fragmented, you know. And so I sat out and like I said, I just watched the Venus Stargate. I watched the colors of the sunset from pinks and purples and all these beautiful hues to the pitch black and just seeing them there and, you know, and just crying, you know, crying for the tenderness of life, crying for the fragility of life, crying for the gratitude of life, you know, crying that I can witness such stunning magnificence, you know, in the sky at this time, at the moment. Like I said, Venus is actually square Chiron as well. So Chiron can be that real deep, you know, like traversing the deep terrain of old wounds or, you know, getting deep into our psyche. And when we're looking at Cancer, you know, the archetype of nurturing, the mother, family, our ancestors, the land that we're on, and then Chiron in Aries, Aries being the archetype of our identity, our self, our own self wounds, maybe self-inflicted wounds. You know, we're having this little edge this week of, you know, of who am I within the wound? You know, and who am I when I put the story to the wound? Does my family define my wound? You know, am I connected to my family wound? You know, it could just be purely not even that deep. It could just be simply that you're feeling tender, darlings, you know, like, you know, you're feeling reflective, you're feeling nostalgic, you're feeling introspective. Yeah. So the thing is that ultimately tomorrow, the Venus Chiron square peaks on the 25th. And so there's deep healing, you know, that is available here. That's the thing as well with this square. And just, and again, like we've got all this fixed tension in the sky, but we've got this cardinal square as well with cardinal Venus and the moon. You know, again, the moon was also there making the square to Chiron. So again, the emotions just come up. Again, it's like maybe everything felt a bit spiky yesterday or even today. And so, you know, I've been, you know, when we're navigating these transits in our own chart, you know, this becomes a daily thing. You know what I'm saying? Like this is daily. Like this isn't, I've had a transit reading once. I know that I've got Venus in my fifth house. Like that's great. But what are you doing with that every single day? How is that being activated for you? You know, like where is your Venus in alignment to Venus in Cancer? You know, what's happening there? What's happening with Chiron in your chart? You know, like we have to, you know, continue to dive in and to unpack what's happening, not in a heavy processing way, but just in a, I'm moving through life way. Like it becomes the language, it becomes the terrain, it becomes the way you embody astrology and understand what's going on. So instead of sort of fighting feeling, so for me yesterday, like fighting feeling shattered, I just felt shattered. And I was like, that's okay. Like it's all good. Like we've got the Venus square going on, you know, my own moon's in Cancer. So, you know, this Stargate was, you know, edging towards my own natal moon. And there was just a tenderness that arose from me and I didn't have to name it. I knew what was going on and I just sat there and just witnessed the beauty of this alignment last night, this Venus gate. And then knowing that my own chart is, you know, being activated by this fixed square because I have my nodes at early degrees, Taurus, Scorpio and oh God, I'm saying the wrong fixed signs. My nodes are in Leo and bloody Aquarius, but because we've got everything being activated with Taurus and Scorpio as well, like I've been sharing everywhere for the past week or so, if you have early degree planets in fixed signs, 0 to 5 degrees, there's a very strong activation happening with the Pluto, the Mars, Pluto opposite Mars. Then they're both square Jupiter and then the North Node and then the South Node. And the South Node can be this big release point of just the surrender, the letting go. And that could be physically you're purging. Maybe you're not well. Maybe you're on the toilet a lot. Maybe you're throwing up. Maybe you're hot sweats. But it could be a literal, it could be that you're clearing your house out, clearing space out. Again, it could be deeply emotional. It could be, well, what are these old stories that don't serve me anymore? Where do I still do this looping? Where am I trapped in the drama and trapped in the story? Again, where, when we know where the fixed energy is happening in our own chart, we can see what's being, edged for us ourselves. And so for me, this is sort of me circling right back to the beginning of 10 minutes ago when I was like, are you in the holding pattern? And that's just where I feel like I've been. It's just like, hold, stay, don't move, don't make any sudden moves, try and stay in the center of the square. That's the release point. The spirit of the grand square is the release point, and actually just happens to be Hecate, this goddess of, and this witch of the crossroads. So for me, she's standing in the center, asking, well, which way are you going? And of course, the south node is the release point, it's the karma, but it's the past. Like, are you headed in that direction? And something I want to share around, this big, sort of Pluto square the nodes, Jupiter's, conjunct the north node, ultimately from the 26th to the 30th, Jupiter will be at 2 degrees of Taurus. I use the mean nodes, just so everyone knows. If you go and check and it's saying 3 degrees or 4 degrees, I use the mean nodes, and I've got a very powerful story around that that I might not share today because I sort of just want to like flip this potty out. I know I gave you a long one last week because I missed you all so bloody much. So Jupiter will be conjunct to the North Node from the 26th to the 30th at 2 degrees of Taurus. However, on the 28th, smack bang, it is at the exact point by degree, like, and quantum minute, like it is exact on the 28th. Now, all I want to say around all of this nodal stuff and this fixed square activation and all this stuff is pay attention. Like I said, it's the center point. It's Hecate. It's being in the middle of the crossroads. And like I said, like I've been saying, we're coming up against each of the edges, the Mars edge, the Pluto edge, the South Node edge, the Jupiter North Node edge. And it's sort of like a, like a pinball machine where the ball's sort of going in these different directions. Now, can you find your center for this next week? Can you rest in the middle of that? Yeah, like the center of the square, that is you, that is Hecate, ushering in these 4 points, right? Holding the space of these 4 points, which is you holding the space of these four edges within your own life, micro, but also within the collective macro, holding your center, holding your ground, being anchored. Because when the nodes are involved, fate and karma are involved. Now, Jupiter has moved into Taurus with the North Node. And remember, the North Node's finishing up its journey in Taurus. So it's moving towards its 1 degree, 0 degree, and then 29 degree of Aries. So ultimately, we're sort of, this is sort of like the final purge of the North Node stuff. Like, it's getting towards the end, and things become quite amplified at the beginning of a sign and the end of the sign, the 0 and 29 aneretic degrees. And, with the nodes being present and so powerfully activated with Mars in Leo making the square, Pluto making the square, now Mars and Pluto opposing each other, and then Jupiter just expanding everything. When we stay in the middle, and especially with this Taurus energy, what we're doing is we're setting things up. So people sort of just expect to be bestowed all of these Jupiterian blessings the moment that Jupiter does something. It's just like, oh, like, oh my God, he's the Santa Claus of the zodiac. Yes, but he will also just amplify and magnify what's already there. But in Taurus, what are we doing? We're building something. Okay, so we're only getting Jupiter sort of hitting that 2 degrees, for those exact days. But ultimately, since Jupiter moved in, Jupiter is conjunct the North Node. And even when Jupiter moves to the next degree, really realistically, Jupiter's conjunct the North Node for a couple of weeks, we could say. But it's now that's sort of the application, like we're really feeling, or maybe not feeling, but noticing or wanting to go, well, what do I want for my future? What am I setting up for my future? And sometimes when you can't think or there's no clarity, it's best just to be still. It's just best to come in into the center of that square and just be still. Take a breath, clarity will come. This is the slow burn. Jupiter moving through Taurus is the slow burn. And again, if you want more of a lot of this sort of talk, I know last week I did talk a lot about this as well as that Jupiter, that new moon in Taurus, I spoke a lot about. It's quite a good podcast. I actually came off it going, that was probably the best podcast I've done. and considering I got like 20 new followers and, you know, I've got lots of listens so far that I can see on my app. I mean, I don't even know how to go onto computers and check like what's going on because I'm not savvy in any of that stuff. I just do it all from my phone. I talk lots of, you know, go back and listen to last week's one if you missed it, because it's a goodie. And it really is this whole setting up the next year. And that's sort of what's going on too. You know, we're completing this nodal cycle. And when the nodes are involved, it's just about paying attention. It's about what are the synchronicities? What are you listening to? How attuned and aligned are you to the messages coming through? It's pay extra attention. And I know that sounds really simple and I've probably said it before, but anytime I'm doing readings or teachings around the nodes, I'm just like, they're sweet spots in the sky, my friend. They're not planets. They're sweet spots on the ecliptic. And they're important. They're the moon's nodes. They are very important. They give us our eclipses. However, they're not actual planetary bodies. So it's more of a subtle revelation. So if things are sort of just sort of staying the same or you're not really noticing a lot, that's okay too. Notice the nuances within that. Notice how you're showing up within that. Are you learning something? You know, Jupiter is here to teach us. Jupiter is here to grow us. You know, that Taurus house is just like kapow. And, you know, that's what I really spoke about last week. So I won't bloody bang on about that because I've already been rambling for 20 minutes. Don't even really know what I've said. Hope you're enjoying it. Love you all very much. Realistically, from the 26th to the 30th, Jupiter is exact that north node. Now, just pay attention. Pay attention to what's happening. You know, just pay attention to what's happening. Do you have any planets at around that, you know, early degrees of other fixed signs or even earth signs? You know, if you've got Capricorn or Virgo stuff, you know, you're having this north node Jupiter trine that, making a really harmonious aspect to that, which can be really delicious, okay, really fluid, you know, really supportive in the movements that you want. Oh, you want to, you know, you're building a house? Awesome. You know, you're asking for a promotion? Great. You know, again, depending on where that's happening in your chart. So those days, pay attention. The 28th is the exact conjunction. Now, the 25th, like I said, is Venus square Chiron. This can be an edge. You know, you may feel extra sensitive or tender, and maybe you got a little bit of a taste of that, like I said yesterday on the 23rd when we had the moon and Venus in Cancer at their gate, at their third eye gate, activating that third eye gate. You know, it's very, very, you know, it's just like, I don't know, like you're seeing clearer. You know, the third eye is now active until we move to the crown chakra gate, which happens in like at solstice, which is quite phenomenal. It's like right on one of my Lilith. I've got my Lilith container from June the 1st through till the end of June. And oh my God, like what is coming through with that has just been absolutely mind blowing. I won't be holding a container, an embodied Lilith container like this again until September, October of 2025, when Lilith is in Scorpio, happens to be my Lilith return. And there's some pretty rad stuff going on. Mars actually happens to be in Scorpio as well. So we're actually going to have Mars and Lilith come together again in the same sign, which is magnificent. You know, of course, every 2 years, Mars will meet up with Lilith. So this might be something that it's just so ripe for me. And I shared ages ago around, you know, the snake that came to visit me in my backyard, which, you know, you do not get snakes in the suburbs, you know, where I live, not in 13 years. So this Lilith container is, oh my goodness, so amazing. I'm bloody pumped for it. And yeah, I won't be holding this container again, for, you know, two and a bit years. because what's happening is this Leo house is being fully activated with Mars, who's freshly in Leo, Lilith, who's been in Leo since January. Venus will move into Leo on June the 5th. And then, you know, as we're speaking, like the moon is about to move into Leo for the 25th and, you know, activate Mars and activate Lilith as a sort of as a lube up, you know, as a bit of a teaser and as a taster for what's coming up in June. You know, on solstice, we have the crown chakra gateway with Venus and the moon both meeting in Leo, which is just delicious. Mars and Lilith are also in Leo, and it just happens to be one of the live calls that I'm holding for my Lilith container. I mean, seriously, can't make this shit up. So magical. And this Leo house is being so fully activated. You know, this is a heart. This is heart. This is alchemy, you know, heart alchemy, sovereignty, you know, the lion, the courage. So all of this fiery energy is just, you know, it's exploding through us. You know, obviously when we move into Leo season, that's going to be pretty amazing. But, you know, by the time Leo season comes, you know, ultimately Mars isn't in Leo anymore. So the reason I'm holding this container at the exact time that I'm holding it is because of what the lineup of Leo in the sky, which is rare, which doesn't happen like this all the time. So, that's pretty magical, right? Like that's a pretty magical thing. So anyway, back to this Venus square Chiron. I'm so glad that I was able to pick that back up because, you know, I was like, where the fuck was I? So what I was saying was, yes, last night, maybe you felt the sensitivity because Venus and the moon are already making the square to Chiron. Okay. But tomorrow it exacts. And what I've sort of looked at here is that what happens is on the 25th, Venus squares Chiron, but then on the 26th, Venus sextiles Uranus. So it's sort of like heal the wound and have a breakthrough. As simple as that. Okay. Heal the wound, heal what comes up, go into your own psyche. This isn't a time of projecting your stuff onto other people. This is a time of recognizing the wound. It's a time and it's a trigger of healing if you allow it to be. It's a time to look within. A square is about you, not about someone else. But of course, you know, it could be closing down an old love or an old flame or, you know, shutting something down. It could be, you know, recognizing old relationship patterns and behaviors that you don't want to take on anymore. It could even be about money, baby, you know, like Venus is them dollar bills. So it could even be around a, you know, a financial position that you're in or, you know, financial patterns that just don't serve you anymore. Yeah. So ultimately Venus will square Chiron on the 25th and then sextile Uranus on the 26th. So we have the wound and then the breakthrough. So I would love to hear how that goes for you. If something comes up or has been sort of being triggered, because like I said, the moon has been in, I'm just going to have a little bit of a drink. That was a very big, I have a very big mouth, so I fit a lot of water in my mouth. And that was a really big drink and I spilled some. So that was a fun time. Just don't even worry about it. Okay, so we can heal, then we can break through. You know, Venus sextiling Uranus can be fun. You know, I love a Uranus aspect. Give me a Uranus aspect, even if it's a square, it's not that bad. Uranus injects like revolution and liberation and revelation. And, you know, it can be really, it can also be a healing. You know, that's the cool thing about Uranus is it reveals something. So, you know, maybe within your Chiron, your Venus Chiron square, that's been sort of building up the last couple of days and exacts on the 25th, you know, Venus is also making, you know, building to this sextile to Uranus, you know, out of the box Uranus. So maybe there's something that, you know, is unexpected that you go, oh my goodness, like I never thought of that. Or you have an aha moment that just changes something for you, an aha moment where you can let something go, heal, an aha moment where you can, you know, soften around your partner because you've been holding a wall, you know, whatever it is for you. I don't know where it's happening in your chart or, you know, what's being activated, but this can be a really beautiful, beautiful couple of days. I just want to say that. I think that that's all I want to talk about today. I just want to talk about staying open. If you're feeling in a holding pattern, know that a breakthrough is coming, because I've just had mine, but I know that I'm still recovering and I'm just like in the moment of like, wow, I feel amazing today. I was interviewed on a podcast today. I'm like riding my 2024 kid at the moment and holy motherfucking shit balls. I cannot wait to share what I am sharing with you. Like 2024, 2025, frothing, like, or even 2026, like 2020, like these next few years. Oh my God. I mean, the whole 2020s is just a fucking astrologer's dream and a numerologist's dream. Like, we are just like on the precipice of just, oh my God, maybe victorious stuff. And it's so exciting. And the feel, if you've got already got my 2023 kit, you know, I've got like a big skull on it. It's, you know, it's very, you know, we're in a collective 7 years. So, you know, there's a lot of transformation and a lot of, you know, having to go into the underworld and really, you know, face yourself, you know, but the eight, you know, the collective eight is a very different feel. And the magic of the eight so far, I've been diving into that today and writing that, getting that very ready. So I've still got a fair amount of it to do. I wouldn't even say I'm 50% done yet, but that's okay. I will still, you know, be looking at pre-sale probably August, at this point, August, September. And oh my God, it's just so good. So, you know, so when the breakthrough comes, revel in that. You know, revel in that, you know, accept that, welcome that in, open your arms to that, open your heart to that. Because like I said, you know, we're still in sketchy times astrologically, you know, this square is holding us. And it is, it's, is it holding you for ransom? And I think that's what you've got to ask yourself. Like, are you holding yourself for ransom? Do you feel like someone's holding you for ransom? I mean, we've got to look at the volatility of Mars and Pluto together making this opposition, you know, like, is something going on that, you know, is quite unhealthy and toxic in your life? Like, this is the flushing, you know, we're doing all the shadow flushing, which I wrote about like over a week ago, you know, a big shadow flushing when Pluto went retrograde. You know, I've got a big post on my Instagram about that. It's got skulls on it. So you can find that one really easy. It's just, you know, a few stories in, a few square grids in. Because the shadow flushing is just a big thing at the moment. We are actually flushing out toxic debris. And whilst this fixed square is going on, yeah, it's like, what's being held? What are you still holding that you can't let go of? And when the breakthrough comes, and that could just be, again, that you've been sick and then you start to feel better. It could be, you know, in a job, in a relationship, it could be in your one of your own personal habits that you're trying to kick. You know, maybe you're trying to give something up and then all of a sudden it clicks. Maybe it's getting back to the gym, you know, whatever it is, you name it, darling. It's yours. It's yours to name, you know, like it is yours to name. It is yours to boldly go after. But if you're feeling the stuckness and that delay and that frustration, like know that that's okay. Like that you will get through this. You know, Pluto's going to retrograde back into Capricorn, you know, so he'll be back in that cardinal, you know, Mars is going to move through Leo now. The nodes will be shifting out of these fixed Taurus and Scorpio. And then we can really sort of, you know, fly by the seat of our pants just to have Jupiter in Taurus without the nodes as well, which will also be its own sense of relief. You know, well, it's just there's a lot of magic around. And I just want to say that, you know, for this next week, until I chat to you again next week, you know, pay attention. What synchronicities are dropping? What are you holding on to? Where are the delays? Where are the frustrations? Where are you coming up against your own edges? How can you stay in the center of the square and be that solution? And that's the biggest thing. Like I said, a grand square, what we're looking to is the center of that. Yeah. And piercing through that. So it's a pretty rad week coming up. Very, very fated. So, you know, fated conversations, fated connections, fated meetings, you know, fated things happening maybe, you know, with work or with relationships or wherever that's happening for you. Again, remember, it's your Taurus house, your Aquarius house, your Leo house, and your Scorpio house that are in this fixed grand square. And if Lilith is calling you, darlings, I still do have a couple of places left. You get to work with me closely for 1 month. It's you know, all of June. Live calls are on Thursday nights, and it is, you know, going to be next level with what I teach. I'm teaching codes that I will only that I will commit to only teaching within this container. Once I've done it once, obviously, then people will probably go out and share the information, which is just sort of what happens. But this, this first container is the one, because you're going to get all of these codes and all of these activations. Lilith has sort of opened something up for me. I've been, researching the Kabbalah and the Tree of Life. I'm working with the tarot really closely, which is not something that I used to do. Like, interesting, Saturn moves into Pisces, and all of a sudden, all of these like rituals, I'm working, strongly with the Katush and Egypt, my Egyptian lineage, and diving into, when the real, the Egyptian New Year, but when we really have the serious star that rises, which is in connection to the Nile, which is not in August. Let me just give you the hot tip. I'm diving so deeply into all of this stuff. It's so Saturn in Pisces for me, because it's my sixth house. So it's just this, I'm just, every single day, it's just like this medicina, all this astrological medicina, tarot. I'm walking the deacons. It's just, there's so much there. And the Lilith information that I've been given, or it's that I've just discovered it. It's not that, I guess, of course, when you find gold, you find gold. But it's because I'm able to weave the Tree of Life with the Tree of Life with the liquid crystals. So we're looking at specific liquid crystals that you can work with. We're looking at a specific aspect in the chart that, corresponds to Lilith herself. I'm actually having a very big activation of that. It's not just Lilith the asteroid. We're going to look at all four Liliths. There's going to be a masterclass. Anyway, it's going to be fucking magical. And also, just because I've got you here, the last thing I want to share is, I don't know if you know, but I have created this cosmic calendar, like the cosmic calendar, darlings. It is all mine, and it's all delicious. And ultimately, it syncs straight up to your calendar, and it's only $8 a friggin' week, a month. $8 a month, I must say. Eight a month. Like, that's $2 a week. As you know, I don't even know if I've been sharing it. I'm so not good at marketing my stuff. But I'm just gonna love you and leave you with that, because if you wanna know like cool dates and have me in your, me in your calendar with some little tips and tricks and liquid crystal days and numerology days and cute little astrology info. And then you get weekly horoscopes, access to weekly horoscopes, because you're a subscriber, which you can access straight from my website too, by the way, because I know that there's a lot of subscribers sometimes that click the link in the thing, and it can get a little bit messy because you've got to be logged into my website. But ultimately, yeah, you can go straight to my website and go to the horoscopes. So tiani.com.au, that's where everything is. My Lilith container, my cosmic calendar is there. You can sign up, subscribe, and be in my vortex, be in my energy field, darlings. But I'm just so happy to have had this breakthrough, and thank you so much for all the love and support that I've had over the last couple of weeks, the understanding of my absence, and even just, all the rad messages that you all send me. So, well, so many of you send me after podcasts. Last week was a bit of a fire podcast. I hope that I've been able to seed something for you for the coming week into how to stay, in the center of the eye of the storm, which we're seeing collectively at the moment. And I wish you so much love for a beautiful week ahead, darlings. Happy Gemini season. So much love. Bye.